in the middle of the deep freeze with the space heater on. This is Bob Davis Podcast 801. Well, I didn't want to do this, but I am forced to. America's 2020 free-for-all, the cage match, is already here. Podcast 801, the Bob Davis Podcasts. The heat is off over here at the broadcast bunker, and it's really cold in the basement, which is where the studio is, which is why I call it the bunker. So I've got the space heater running, and we're going to have to deal with this once I'm done with this podcast, because I have quite a few podcasts yet to do before the end of January 2019. And I have to make the point that it is indeed 2019, and I made a comment in a previous podcast this week and said that the next waypoint, if you really were paying, if you really didn't want to pay attention to the politics in this country, is probably November of 2020, and I couldn't be more right. So we're going to talk about that in podcast 801. Well, I am sorry for running the space heater behind me, but I had to, because guess what? The broadcast bunker furnace, as I just said, has failed again. And where do I begin? I do not own this place, so it's not my fault. But people try to save money, and they try to fix things that probably shouldn't be fixed. Because when it comes to keeping all these systems operating in your home these days, you think, I can do this myself. My dad used to do this. I know what it is. This stuff these days is so complicated. When you have plumbing or heating problems, you want reliable service. That means people who know what they are doing, and that is Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Yes, they go back four generations in St. Paul's Frogtown. What do they do? Quality replacement. I'm going to say that again. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, part of which is knowing when it should be repaired and part of it which is knowing when it should be replaced. And you have to have people that know what they're doing. And in cold weather, you're going to have pipes bursting, you're going to have toilet issues, you're going to have heating issues, you're going to have water heater issues. Now, my water heater's working fine, but the heat is off, and we are going into a polar deep freeze, so it's going to be a very interesting next couple of days here at the Bob Davis Podcast. You can check Ryan out online at ryanplumbing.com. Lots of great content about heating and plumbing and stuff like that at ryanplumbing.com, because when it comes to keeping all these systems running right, especially these days at home and your business, went to yoga today. Did a hot yoga. We got all sweaty, came out, and went into the yoga studio, and it was 4 degrees today. And there was no hot water in the men's locker room. 2 weeks ago, there was no hot water in the women's locker room. Went out and said to my friend at the desk, hey, there's no warm water in the men's locker room. And she goes, you know, that's weird because we just got the boiler replaced. So the cold weather puts it in enormous strain on this stuff, and there will be problems. So Ryan customers get priority. Give them a call if you need them. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan Plumbing and Heating online at ryanplumbing.com. You could go to a deserted tropical island, which wouldn't be such a bad thing if you're up in Minnesota or in the northern part of the United States, Milwaukee or Chicago. Yeah, going to some deserted island somewhere wouldn't be such a bad thing, because, and I'm thinking you could probably go for the next 10 months, and the grand scheme of things probably wouldn't change. I have the distinct feeling that pretty much the battle lines are set going forward for 2020, which is not necessarily a good thing, coming on the heels of this government shutdown and then the president's capitulation to Nancy Pelosi. Regardless of whatever happens in the next 3 weeks in podcast time in terms of whatever his next gambit is to try to get his way, or whether he's just going to give up on it. Yes, I know that we just had an election in 2018, but you can forget 2019. In fact, it's going to feel like 2019 never happened, because all you're going to hear about when you turn on the television or listen to the radio or go online is going to be 2020. It's going to be in all the headlines, because that is all they're going to talk about from here on in. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. So the list of potential candidates for president on the Democrat side is mind-boggling. And many of them are U.S. senators, which I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. And I wanted to do a quick podcast and talk about this and the potential of this to be, to get to the point where we're so sick of it, if we're not sick of it already, that, and again, either we're going to be sick of it or it's going to be, we're going to be so ginned up and so involved in this stuff that it's just going to be sad. There doesn't seem to be a moment of peace for the American people to get away from these politicians. So here's the list of people running for president: Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Senator Kamala Harris of California, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York, former mayor of San Antonio and HUD Secretary Julian Castro, Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, former Representative John Delaney. I don't even know who he is. He was from Maryland, although he has been living in Iowa for the last 2 years in preparation for his 2020 bid for the presidency. The mayor of South Bend, the guy with the strange name, Pete, it's spelled Buttigieg, but it is pronounced Buttigieg. Andrew Yang, who is a humanitarian entrepreneur and who served in the Obama administration, former Vice President Joe Biden, of course, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont, Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey, Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado, also maybe Colorado's former governor John Hickenlooper, or maybe he's the current governor, I don't even know. Possibly there has been some talk of Michelle Obama running for president. The only thing sparing us from an Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez campaign is the fact that she is under 35 years of age, but she will be out campaigning for someone. You can bet on that. Obviously, Michael Bloomberg, billionaire and former New York mayor, is either announcing it or has made noises about running as an independent or running as a Democrat or running as a Republican. I don't know yet. And Howard Schultz, one of the founders and former CEO of Starbucks, kind of sort of announced his candidacy as an independent in the last couple of days in podcast time. Angelina Jolie, who needs no introduction, current mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, and let's not forget John Kerry and Hillary Clinton, and a bunch of other people like Congressman Adam Schiff, Admiral McRaven, Representative Seth Moulton, Joseph Sandberg, and of course, possibly Texas Representative Beto O'Rourke. So those are the lists of Democrats, and there's more beyond that. And for Republicans, it's important to note that on the Republican side, obviously the president is going to be running, and I make that statement without knowing whether he's actually going to be running, but I guess he is. I'm just saying that the supposition is that he's going to be running for president, possibly John Kasich, but the RNC and the president's reelection campaign have been merged, and the rules have been changed at the convention so that a grassroots challenge to Trump's candidacy is going to be very, very unlikely. Many Republicans are not surprisingly aware of this. They are not surprisingly aware of this. So that's going to be something. There won't be any grassroots challenge to the Trump presidency. There won't be any dump Trump bumper stickers. And if they are, it'll be a waste of everyone's time because they've changed the rules so that a grassroots effort can't be made. So I want to talk about Iowa a little bit. Unfortunately, the Iowa caucus is going to be held on February 3rd, 2020. Many of these previously mentioned candidates are already staffing up and campaigning in Iowa. The state Democratic Party is already very concerned about the possibility of another overcrowded caucus, which confused outcomes in 2020. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Iowa and the primary schedule and the specter of a full-strength presidential campaign starting in 2019 before it even gets warm. And this actually disgusts me, because now this is what people talk about when you run into people at the coffee place or you want to make small talk. This is one of the things people bring up. Oh, you know, there's a lot of people running for president. And then you end up having to talk about this. And then it progresses into the topic of conversation, the topic of media. And we are to get no rest from the magpies on the power line and the candidates telling us what we are to think and telling us how to think and telling us who to vote for. And it's just it's beyond belief to me. And we're going to talk about it in the second half of this podcast. Quick reminder that all the printing needs are taken care of by Cartridge World, because if you hate paying top dollar for print cartridges and this causes printer hate with you, well, you know the drill. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores, and Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. If you are out of the Minneapolis-St. Paul metro, they can still send stuff to you. Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Give them a call at 763-420-6632, 763-420-6632. Ask for Jason or click on the banner that says Cartridge World at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. So I want to talk about Iowa a little bit, because I went down there and covered the 2016 presidential campaign as a neophyte. I've been to events. I've been to Republican events. I've been to Democrat events. I've covered campaigns from the talk studio, but I have never actually gone out and made a concerted effort to spend time on the ground and camp in the truck and go to events and talk to people and get an idea of what is actually going down at these primaries. And so in 2016, if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I set out on this sort of chaotic search for America in the primaries in Mobile Podcast Command, and spent almost a month in Iowa, culminating in the Republican caucus, and was intending to cover some Democrat events, but I could never connect, and a lot of energy was on the Republican side. So I pretty much stuck with the Republicans. And then after that, went down to South Carolina, debated going up to New Hampshire, but decided to just go ahead and go on down to South Carolina after the Iowa primary. So I have a lot of experience in Iowa and all over the state. A couple things about Iowa. So Iowa is small enough that you can get from just about anywhere in the state in a couple of hours. So you can go to Council Bluffs, you can go to, Iowa City, you can go to Ames, you can go to Dubuque, and you can go to Des Moines. And so campaigns can get around, news people can get around, and, it's interesting for that reason. It's also in this sort of Midwestern milieu, so you've got farmers and hay bales, and you've got the whole lot of guys out there, especially in Western Iowa, wear cowboy hats, and you can play country music at your events, but then you can go to Des Moines, and hang out at Drake University or someplace like that, and you can do your thing in an somewhat urban environment. And it has been described to me by political people down there, committeemen down there, as a perfect venue for proto-campaigns to kind of figure out whether they've got an option or an opportunity to be president. My understanding is that in general, people who win the Iowa primaries usually don't win the presidency. Howard Dean famously, Ron Paul famously, Michelle Bachmann famously, people who came and went without really ever being strong presidential contenders. But Iowa is thought of as the first look at the presidential field, at least in the storybook politics sense. In reality, it is a joke. The same people come out for the same events over and over again. If there are three or four events in, someplace like Davenport in one night, the same people will come out and go to each event. And I wouldn't be surprised to see quite a lot of Republicans going to Democrat events and vice versa. And their chief objective, as far as I my takeaway was it appears to be to get on television. And they are worse than political tourists. They consider it their birthright as Iowans to be this first primary. Quite honestly, I think they should be forced to move their primary back. No one can, but Iowa gets a far bigger vote in the presidential election than is quite honestly fair, because yes, it's fair. They can move their primary up to whenever they want, but it's an absurdity because the whole thing is for television cameras. And you go to these events, and I've talked about this 100 times, you go to these events and there are literally more people from the media there than there are political people and actual people in the audience for these events. And the candidate gets up and they say a few things and they talk about some guy in the front row that they know, and then they give their pat speech. And there are also moments of great absurdity, like what was her name? Carly Farina standing on a chair and saying that she was in it to win it and was going to stay until the end, and later that day withdrew from the presidential contest. Stuff like that. It's just so irritating. You know, I couldn't help but thinking, what about all these people that showed up for this event? This was at a coffee shop in Des Moines, and there was no place to speak, so there was enough people there. They jammed all these people into this little coffee shop because they couldn't get people in the, you know, the city auditorium. That would have been an empty, that would have been 15 or 20 or 30 or 40 people in an empty room. So they served breakfast, and they had this, they had her show up, and good for her. And the media, you know, chased her out to her car and or bus or whatever she was riding in, and Richard Dreyfuss showed up, and you know, her husband was there, who's a major executive, and it was just sad. And then, you know, the whole thing about the candidate will have to stand up on a chair and we'll shoot that and it will be exciting and everything else. And I had run into a number of her campaign people, you know, kind of wandering and coming crisscrossing across the state and coming. And I felt bad for the campaign people who had no idea that she was going to be pulling out and were scheduling interviews and everything else. And the other thing is the candidates will not talk to the media. They are not accessible. And it, whether it's Ted Cruz or Carly Farina or any of these people, their media events are carefully chosen, and independent people and small people in general do not get a piece of that. And actually, really successful big media outlets don't get a shot at it either, unless the candidate, depending on who they are, can feel fairly confident that if they grant access, they're going to get decent coverage. This is a really bad situation. It's a really bad situation that we have so many senators running for office. It's almost as though the Senate is a bullpen for future presidential candidates. And I don't think that's good. So Iowa really bothers me. The other thing is, and I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll say it 100 times again, the problem with Iowa is that they get, you know, there's no way that all these senators in Congress are going to run through Iowa and then go around voting against measures that benefit Iowa in the long run. Iowa is a rich state. Its citizens, if they're farmers, are rich in land. They're all driving brand new trucks for the most part if they're farmers. To me, as you drive through Iowa, you get the impression the coffers are full of whatever favors it can be granted by these candidates who, you know, if they have any plan to run for president, they are not going to screw up anything in Iowa, Republican or Democrat. And to me, that is a symptom of the problem. It's also a symptom of the problem that this is a primary being held February 3rd, 2020. And so the campaigns have already started. They will be running in earnest by, you know, April, May, and June of 2019, and they'll be going full blast all summer long until, because that's the final stretch, really, summer and fall, so August, September, November, and then Christmas comes in December. They'll be down there for Christmas, and then suddenly January runs by in an instant, and because I've been down there in January during this period of time, and then suddenly, boom, you have this primary on February 3rd. And what does it show? Usually the guy who wins doesn't win the presidency. So I'm not quite sure what the value of the primary is. When I went down, I chose a rural caucus because I wanted to see farmers. And that was kind of cool. I almost wish I had gone to the Des Moines Democratic caucus, because that turned into a worse problem and free-for-all than we had in Minnesota that same year when we did our caucus, which forced the Republicans, of all people here, to change the plan. And so we're going to have a primary here, and I don't know what they're going to do for the caucuses. So, and I'm not even sure if I'm clear on that, because they don't cover these things very effectively in the media, and so nobody really knows what's going on. So then we have California, whose outgoing Governor Jerry Brown already signed a bill moving the Golden State's 2020 presidential primary to early March, March 3rd, which is Super Tuesday. So before you even get a chance to celebrate the new year, you have a primary on February 3rd, you have a primary on March 3rd, which is essentially Super Tuesday. And so that's when the television networks get a chance to test all their new stuff. And so it goes. Then you have, so before Super Tuesday, you have Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. And reporters will be rushing willy-nilly, on, you know, jumping on planes and flying out to, well, not too many people are going to fly to Nevada, although people do consider Nevada to be pivotal now. But I did go down to South Carolina. South Carolina is harder to cover because it's like a day's drive from Myrtle Beach to Columbia, which I think is more than 200 miles. And you have to go up into the mountains, and then you have to come back down. And so you're, you know, Myrtle Beach is a long way from Savannah and Charleston. And it's really a cool state because there's so much different. There's so many different places. But South Carolina is, feels, I'm pretty sure it is much bigger than Iowa, but it feels enormously larger than Iowa because the distances are so pronounced, and you're not crisscrossing through small towns on back roads like you are in Iowa, where there are events held. Jefferson, Iowa, you know, Ames, you know, Dubuque, places like that, Quad Cities, whatever. So again, Super Tuesday on March 3rd, and it's just, it becomes to me this kind of thing, especially this early to be talking about the presidential election. And why am I? Because this is what people are talking about right now. I mean, this is one of those things where every now and then I got to throw a podcast up about some of the stuff that people are talking about, because I don't want to keep talking about the same, you know, stuff. Trump's a genius. He didn't give in to Nancy Pelosi. You know, Nancy Pelosi, there's so much misinformation going on. And of course, it's only going to get worse because the intensity starts to get ratcheted up. And anyway, then there's a slew of other primaries which follow until June of 2020. There's Little Super Tuesday, Second Super Tuesday, whatever you want to call it. Then you have the conventions in the middle of 2020, and then the election on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. Not to mention, by the way, when I talked about all the candidates, I gave you the Republican, and there's not much to talk about with Republicans, but I gave you the Democrat list, not to mention the cavalcade of independents, sliver, and third party potential candidates, whether it's, that we don't even know about, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party, you know, the Constitution Party, possible independent challenges from people we don't even know about, and so forth and so on. So if you're tired of the screaming and yelling and pounding, if you're tired of being told what to think, if you're tired of being of really seizing on these little one-day stories that get everyone upset because somebody released a video or somebody said something at a get-together or something happened, and what are they going to do? This is a perfect example, and we aren't even into the campaign yet. Here's a perfect example. Here's Howard Schultz talking about his potential run for the presidency as an independent, and within 30 seconds, he got heckled.
I am seriously considering running for president as a centrist independent. And I wanted to clarify the word independent, which I view merely as a designation on the ballot.
Don't help elect Trump, you egotistical billionaire.
So I don't know what we can do, considering the number of senators running. We should repeal the 17th Amendment and go back to having state legislatures and governors appointing senators. And I don't know what can be done to disabuse Americans who, despite their apparent fascination with socialism, seem to think that anybody who is a billionaire would make a fantastic president, would be instantly successful as president. So, you know, as it gets more and more absurd, one wonders if it can really get any more absurd. And the answer I'm here to tell you is absolutely. Yes, it can. Welcome to the Great American Cage Match 2020, on now at your local theater. Thanks for listening to Podcast 801, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Remember, if something breaks in the cold weather, think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business. Here is the number in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Ryan goes back four generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Residential and business. And more importantly, metro-wide. Doesn't matter where you are. Invergrove, West St. Paul, St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Louis Park, Hopkins, Minnetonka, Deep Haven, Maple Grove, you know, Burnsville, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. You know, it won't be too long before it is beautifully warm. It will be hot, the sun will be up, the green will be out, and it will be pure bliss. And it's a great time for the air show at Oshkosh. And if you're going, if you're a pilot, if you're flying in, if you love a pilot, if you know a pilot, you know that pilots want to be safe, especially on takeoffs and landings. And Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Bottom line is Alpha Systems, AOA saves lives. Here's what you do. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator. That takes you to their Facebook or their website. And if you're a pilot, you really want to have this in your planes package. And again, click on that banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn. I really do recommend for Android devices, Spotify or Google Play. I think they work better than some of these aggregation services, which I have talked about, especially in Podcast 800. Let's see what else. BlogTalkRadio.com. Of course, iTunes. You can subscribe to the Bob Davis Podcasts right off the page. You can listen to streaming right off the page. You can click on an individual podcast and hit play. And once you click on it, it takes you to the whole blog. And then you scroll down and you can hit play and listen to the podcast right off the page at the Bob Davis Podcast.com. A bunch of widgets on there to find my Facebook page and my Twitter feed, and also some of these services like Stitcher or iTunes. Thanks for listening to Podcast 801. I'm so sorry that we're going to have to be talking about politics. And now I got to make some calls and see if I can get this furnace up and running.
Boop. You've got a passion. Got a passion. It's called peace. You've got a passion. You've got a passion. You've got a passion.